It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Longtime listeners of NPR were saddened this week to learn of the passing of newscaster Craig Windham. His death was the result of a pulmonary embolism. This heart condition has become the nation's third leading cause of death after heart attack and stroke. Allegheny General Hospital is launching a multidisciplinary approach to diagnosing and treating it. I'm joined now in studio by Dr. Raymond Benza, Medical Director of the Pulmonary Hypertension and Thrombone Darterectomy Program at Allegheny General Hospital. Good to have you with us.
Thank you very much.
Did I say that correctly?
Close.
All right. Well, go ahead and say
thromboendarterectomy.
Okay. Make sure I get that correct. Good to have you with us. And also Dr. Eric Beeler, a pulmonary and critical care specialist at Allegheny General Hospital, is with us as well. Eric, good to have you.
Thanks for having me.
And you can join the conversation with a comment or question at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is ESSPGH at WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH. Again, the number 412-246-2002. Let's start with the clinical explanation or definition of what a pulmonary embolism is. Dr. Beeler, why don't you go ahead and describe that for us and explain exactly for listeners who are not sure just what we're dealing with here.
So what a pulmonary embolus actually is a blood clot that travels to the lungs. Most blood clots tend to form in the legs for a myriad of reasons, some of those being surgery, some of those being related to cancer, some of those also being related to genetic factors that make you predisposed to forming clots. And after those clots form, typically in the legs, about a third of them actually break off and travel up to the lungs. So coming up from the legs, they go through the venous system, they go through the right side of the heart, and then get wedged into the lungs and cause symptoms such as shortness of breath, chest pain, sometimes coughing up blood. Its presentation is quite variable. It can be as simple as just simple shortness of breath, and then other people actually present with life-threatening complications.
So why is it often misdiagnosed?
Well, mainly because the symptoms are so reminiscent of more common medical problems that can cause shortness of breath, having a common cold, asthma. And so there are a lot of things that can actually mimic that presentation. And people generally aren't thinking about pulmonary embolism as the cause of shortness of breath. And so the diagnosis is often missed on many people. And it is a very prevalent problem, as you mentioned earlier. There are about 500,000 survivors of acute PTEs in the United States per year. So it's a very common occurrence. And the key is to understand what predisposes to this, as Eric just mentioned, periods of long inactivity, recent procedures to the leg that have damaged the blood vessels in the leg that make them more prone to clot. And then these genetic orders or predispositions will make the blood thicker and more likely to clot in a certain place.
I was surprised to read that apparently Serena Williams, the tennis player, underwent treatment for this. And you would think, here's a woman who is in tremendous shape based on what she does for a living. How was that possible? Why would somebody be able to function at the level she functions and yet have this condition?
Well, again, even in healthy people, if there are long periods of inactivity, for example, being on an airplane for a long time with your legs in a certain position, and which impedes blood flow through the veins. Remember, in the veins, blood flow is accelerated by the action of the muscles on the blood vessels. It's not like an artery that actually pulses and moves blood readily. So blood can stagnate in the veins in very common conditions, and prolonged inactivity like plane rides, long car rides, are often the cause of many of these things.
And I don't know her specific medical history, but being a high-level athlete, I'm sure she's had multiple procedures to knees, legs, ankles, whether they be arthroscopic or otherwise, that would also put her at significant risk as well.
And is the misdiagnosis one of the reasons that this has become the third leading cause of cardiovascular death?
Yeah, I believe there's one of the major factors for that, because there's a certain period of time that you have to act on these acute emboli in order to facilitate their dissolution in the lungs before they can have an impending effect on the heart. And these larger clots that Eric was talking about earlier, the ones that are particularly deadly, when these clots get very large, the mortality rate can range anywhere from 10 to 50%. So it's it can be a very deadly occurrence when it happens. So the need to recognize these early to make sure that it's characterized as large or small, so then further therapies can be implemented to force these things to dissolve is really the cure for these.
So it's something that can be corrected. It can be fixed.
It can be fixed, yes. We have strong anticoagulants that we can use. We have certain medications that actually can force the lysis of these clots from the lungs and break them into very tiny pieces, which would not impede flow and could help circulation be restored.
So there's some good news there. And so the question then is, it really comes down to a matter of detection. You can't fix it if you don't know you have it. So tell us about what Allegheny General Hospital is doing to detect and treat pulmonary embolisms to improve the outcomes for people that are diagnosed with this condition. Dr. Beeler, I'll let you handle that.
So when people come in with the symptoms that are typical for the blood clots, we do a CT scan typically to diagnose them. After the CT scan is performed, our radiologists review it, and they see the clot within the lungs. At that time, we have a response team that's activated, and we come and initially evaluate the patient, do a set of vital signs, blood work, things like that, and we risk stratify them as to whether this is a simple clot that we can deal with just a simple anticoagulation or if they're going to need more advanced therapies.
When should I come in to have this done? Let's say I'm running up the stairs or just even walking up the stairs one day, and I notice when I get to the top that I'm not breathing particularly well, or there's something else that I'm doing that normally is not a problem for me that suddenly is. Is that a sign? What are the signs? When should someone engage with health professionals without being overly paranoid?
I would say any increase in shortness of breath for things that you could typically do. Like you had said, I had just seen a young lady in the hospital not too long ago who was very active, and then one day she just noticed going up one flight of stairs, she just became completely breathless and started feeling dizzy. So symptoms that would cause increased shortness of breath beyond the day-to-day things. I mean, obviously, if you go for a very vigorous run, you expect to be shortness of breath. But when you're walking up a flight of stairs, something you do routinely and develop significant symptoms of shortness of breath and chest pain, those are symptoms that really need to be evaluated very closely and should be taken very seriously.
It's the acuity of the symptom that's the most important thing. If you are actively engaged in activities all day without problems and all of a sudden you can't do it, there's something wrong and you should be assessed.
And could it be just shortness of breath, or is there a checklist of symptoms, and does it need to be all of those symptoms or just one? Like, in other words, if I have the shortness of breath but I'm not feeling any chest pains, I'm a little out of shape today, you know? Is that kind of...
I think it's the knowledge of the acuity of the event. So, if you were able to do something one day and the next day you can't, and perhaps you have the risk factors that we just mentioned, you just had surgery on your leg, or you've been on a prolonged air flight or a prolonged car ride, and these symptoms develop there acutely, you might put one and one together to say, I better get myself to the hospital and get checked.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we are talking about a new program at Allegheny General Hospital that screens for people who could potentially have a pulmonary embolism, which, as we discussed earlier, has become the nation's third leading cause of death after heart attack and stroke. My guests are Dr. Eric Beeler, who is a pulmonary critical care medicine specialist at Allegheny General Hospital, and also Dr. Raymond Benza, who is the medical director of the pulmonary hypertension and, say it for me,
thromboendarterectomy.
Thank you. Program at Allegheny General Hospital. Our number is 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email ESSPGH at WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH. Is Allegheny General Hospital's multidisciplinary approach unique to Pittsburgh in terms of how you're handling this problem?
I think it's unique to Pittsburgh. I think many other hospitals are coming on board with these type of acute recognition programs. In the United States, there are more and more centers that are adopting these type of algorithms to quickly manage these, to really reduce the morbidity and mortality that can be associated with this disease. It's really the correct diagnosis and then the correct differentiation of whether these are small or large clots and how they're affecting the heart that can really save lives, and that has to be done rapidly.
And I'm curious what existed before this approach you're describing. You've come up with this relatively new, proactive way of screening for this. What was done before? Dr. Beeler.
Unfortunately, there was really no protocol per se, and it was done ad lib almost. Oftentimes, the diagnosis would be missed, as you had referred to earlier, and sometimes stumbled upon. And then after a CT scan was done, you know, there could be quite a delay between getting appropriate therapy started and people appropriately triaged for the appropriate interventions. I think what this protocol does is it treats pulmonary embolus as the emergency that it is. It then risk stratifies them and gets them into the appropriate pathway as far as treatment very quickly. Whereas prior to that, something that takes us now minutes could take hours, maybe even longer.
So if I came in and you did a C scan on me and you discovered there was a problem, how would it, you know, would you say, okay, Paul, we've got a problem here. Am I going to stay at the hospital? Or am I coming back right away the next morning? Or what immediate steps are taken?
So the immediate steps that are taken, we do some blood work, which often can signify if there's damage being done to the heart. Because like we were saying, these blood clots usually break off from the legs and then travel up through the right side of the heart into the lungs. And when you have a very large blood clot, the right side of the heart becomes stressed. And oftentimes we have biomarkers that we check instantaneously or as we make this diagnosis that kind of clues us into people that are under more stress than others. Because a large portion of these people are not unstable, so to speak. But we do these markers and these tests and an echocardiogram to see the function of the heart to determine how adversely affected the heart really is.
I'm getting shortness of breath just listening to this. let's go to Russ in Pittsburgh with a question. Hi, Russ. You're on with Drs. Beeler and Benza.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Actually, I've got two questions. The first is, if I have a risk factors for stroke, say a family history, am I automatically at risk for PEs?
And that's a good. Hold on. That's a good question. I'll let you get to the second one, but let's answer this one first.
There are some genetic things that do overlap between the two diseases, but most strokes are within the arterial system and most blood clots are within the venous system. So not all of the risk factors are classically the same, but there are some clotting disorders that you can find in both.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Okay, and then, Russ, your second question?
The second question is, you said something about if you have these sudden acute symptoms, and you always talked about going up a flight of stairs or doing something normal. But if I have acute symptoms, just say sitting there watching TV, would that be the same? Should I treat it with the same level of concern?
Well, yeah. If you have acute shortness of breath at rest, it's probably even more serious than when you have it during activity. It's really the acuity of the nature. So if you're fine 1 minute and you're short of breath the next, that means something acute may be occurring, and that's the time to get in to be seen by someone.
Russ, thank you for the call, and don't be afraid to get this checked out. Certainly would be I think, one takeaway from that. Are you gentlemen, you doctors, seeing an increase in people with this condition in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I mean, if we track our own data at Allegheny General Hospital, there certainly has been an increase in the recognition of this over the last 4 years, and we currently diagnose just at AGH alone about 2,500 of these per year just in our one hospital. And so you can imagine multiplying that from the number of hospitals that are in this vicinity, and you can see it's probably a large problem here.
And why is that? Why are we seeing more people with this?
Well, one, I think because we recognize the risk factors for it.
Okay.
We have far more advanced modalities for detecting this. The scanners that we use are levels above that which we had in the past. And so we're more accurately able to make the diagnosis. And I think people are becoming more and more aware of the symptom complex, but most importantly, the risk factors that predispose this so that we can put one and one together a lot quicker.
We have just we have less than a couple minutes left, but have we talked about the Pulmonary Embolism Severity Index? It's a nationally validated scale that determines the patient's risk and mortality and the severity of complications.
Yes, so that's a very well-known algorithm which matches general demographic patterns of patients, their age and their gender, with certain comorbidities, whether they have cancer or not have cancer, to the vital signs that they present. And remember, the vital signs are a reflection of how stable the circulation is. So your blood pressure, your pulse, your respiratory rate. And then the combination of those factors give you a score. And the higher the score, the higher the acuity of the embolism and the higher risk of you are from passing from it.
And again, we're thinking about this a lot today and have been this week, not only in anticipation of your visit, but also the fact that Craig Windham, who was an NPR colleague of ours, you know, we heard him on the air one day and then he was gone the next. Sounds like this really is something that strikes frighteningly suddenly.
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely.
What is in the 30 seconds or so that we have left? What is the next step in terms of treating this? Have we arrived at a point where we feel it can be done effectively with what we have at our disposal, or is there more research to be done?
Well, I think the expansion of these programs throughout the United States have had a significant impact on the mortality of this disease. And so the development of these programs within facilities throughout the Pittsburgh area and the state, I think, would really help in reducing the morbidity and the mortality that's associated with this.
Well, it's been an interesting discussion, and these are things that are good to know. We've been talking with Dr. Raymond Benza, Medical Director of the Pulmonary Hypertension. And I'm going to ask you to say it again.
And Thromboendarterectomy Center.
Thromboendarterectomy Center. Why can't I say that? I'll be practicing that for your next visit.
Don't feel bad. I can't say it either.
Okay, Dr. Beeler is a pulmonary and critical care medicine specialist at Allegheny General Hospital. Dr. Beeler, Dr. Benza, thank you both for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Coming up this weekend, Pittsburgh holds its first Wikipedia Edit-a-thon. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.